The tablets there that we've discussed give us a glimpse at what it took to maintain an empire of this size. And this is an even more striking accomplishment when we consider that he became king in a palace coup. So he not only had to retain control of the throne, but he also was able to reorganize the administration of the empire and keep it on a secure foundation for his successors. One factor that may have played a part in his ultimately successful rule was Darius's attention to justice. Darius recorded that, "I am a friend to the just. I do not wish that the weak should be ruled by the mighty. It is not my wish that the mighty should be ruled by the weak. What is right, that is my wish. I am no friend of the man who is a follower of the lie. I am not hot-tempered. When I feel anger rising, I keep that under control by my thinking power. I control firmly my impulses." Some of the ideas in this inscription are old, although the phrasing is not. I love that he's able to control his temper. Few other earlier kings claimed that. But we also have other indications that Darius carried through on the promise that he set out in this inscription. The Persepolis tablets note his decrees and judgments, and he writes as he is disseminating his decision on a dispute that, "What a man says against a man, that does not convince me, until I have heard testimony from both parties. What a man does or performs according to his power satisfies me." That Darius rewards the man who has labored willingly and punished those who have caused damage. So if we think back to the laws of Hammurabi, we see a bit of a return here, that there's a focus on evidence, secure testimony that is supported, and Darius is going back to this old-fashioned idea of justice that we saw most clearly developed under Hammurabi's law code. When we look at the art of Persia, we'll see that there are also elements of past cultures that the Persians decided to incorporate into their new art and their new royal ideology. In his account of Persian customs, Herodotus writes that Persian law prevented kings from executing a man for a single offense, but that the king was to balance their crimes against their services. If there is an imbalance towards the faults, then the king may let his anger take its course. The Greek version of the invasions dominated European ideas of the East, especially this idea of the small force defeating the great. And it seems even more amazing when we think about it from the perspective of the accounts we've become used to reading, where the king is always victorious. He fights on behalf of his god, he amasses an unbelievable number of troops, and performs whatever engineering feats were necessary. Once the battle is won, the king can then extract the most valuable resources from the newly conquered territory, and then these are often turned over to the gods in some portion. In the next lecture, we will study the second Persian attack on Greece, and meet the mercurial leader of the Persians, Xerxes. Herodotus's characterization of Xerxes made him the stereotype of the Eastern tyrannical ruler. And what we see Herodotus do in his description of Xerxes is that Xerxes behaves in exactly the opposite ways that Darius promoted in his inscriptions.